Well, greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, business, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So, stay tuned for tonight's special report on lying deceivers when we come back. Hey, let me ask you this. What do you think's wrong with the Ten Commandments? Because it's pretty obvious by now that something is wrong with the Ten Commandments because they've been banned from our public schools, they're banned from our public institutions, and banned from our national consciousness. Instead of these ten simple time-tested laws, we now see the ten planks to the Communist Manifesto in their place. And they're teaching these ten planks to the Communist Manifesto in our public schools, in our public institutions, and we've been made, or we have been taught, to make them a part of our national psyche. Now, this is a pretty radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years. Are you aware, for instance, your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent? But your daughter can have an abortion arranged through that same public school nurse without even your knowledge, much less your consent. And that's why I contend that the solution to this kind of moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. You know, our founding fathers practiced and they advocated the Ten Commandments. And they even put 22 principles of that law into our federal constitution. Now, there's at least one school left in America that still teaches this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, and all 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, as well as the penalties and the 33 benefits that we receive for their observance. Now, every law has a penalty. You don't have to know what the penalty to the law is in order to suffer from its effect. So whether we call this the Mosaic Law, the Law of God, the Common Law, the Natural Law, or Karma, or something else, it's automatic. It works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which happen to be the natural penalties for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order our free General Law CD package first? That's the place to start. That's a four-hour commentary on the law school. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, and best of all, it's free, and you can call and order one right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Click on to the archives page and you can download that free General Law CD package right there. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Go to the archives page. Hey, we've been talking about lying deceivers, and we would be remiss if we didn't zero in on the religious leaders of our society and zero them out for their share of these lying deceivers. Now, we're approaching Christmas as I speak. Now, when you drive down the street and you come up to a church, you're going to see a little scene out there, a little something put out there called a manger scene. Some cities put those out, you know, and they get into the Christmas spirit. Most cities, they'll decorate for Christmas. You know, we got decorations coming up. And people go out and they cut down a tree. This Christmas tree is a very important part of this Christmas observance, this Christmas celebration. Now, Christmas isn't done for no good reason. Christmas is done to honor and to celebrate the birthday of Jesus. The birthday of Jesus, December the 25th. Now, if you would look up December the 25th or Christmas in your encyclopedia, or if you went to a Bible dictionary or you went to a Bible commentary or concordance or any place and look up the word Christmas, the first thing that you're going to notice is that Christmas doesn't appear in the Bible. You know, that should be a big clue to you right there. When you can't find rapture in the Bible, and you can't find Christmas in the Bible, and you can't find Easter in the Bible, you know, that should tell you that those aren't biblical doctrines. You can find Passover, Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of Weeks, you know, Days of Unleavened Bread. You can find, you know, you can find Sabbath there. You can't find a lot of these doctrines. Now, the people that are promoting these doctrines aren't doing that for no good reason. And this Christmas doctrine, it makes a lot of money. This is the biggest retail part of the year. This is big business now. And the Bible tells you not to do that. And it's in Jeremiah 10, verses 1 through 6. So if you're keeping score here, you know, like a baseball game, you want to keep score. Write that down. Number one, it's Jeremiah 10, verses 1 through 6. And it tells you in there to learn not the way of the heathen. And it describes going out into the woods and cutting down a tree and bringing it in and decorating it with silver and gold. Isn't that special? The colors of Easter, silver and gold. Now, God also gives us a little bit more advice in Deuteronomy 4, verse 2. Write that down so you can tell Bob when he comes in from work tonight. Deuteronomy 4, verse 2. And Deuteronomy 12, verse 32 tells us that we're not to add to this law. We got everything in here we need. And he says, don't you add to this and don't you take away from it. And then, to put a little frosting on the cake, in Revelation 22, about the last three or four verses, it says, if you change this, if you add to this or you take away from this, I'm going to add to you the plagues that are written in this book, or I'm going to take your name out of the book of life. And the lying deceivers that deceive us over Christmas, Easter, and New Year's are doing it for money. That's typically what we've discovered in this series right here. That's primarily why they're doing it. They give us vaccinations for money. And they're teaching us this Christmas, this pagan Christmas doctrine for money. It makes a lot of money. I wouldn't deny it. And so you and I have to make a decision. Do we want to obey God and keep His commandments, or do we want to make money? And you know, if your answer is money, stick with the program you've got. It's a winner. Now, if you want to do this because God told you, obey me and keep my commandments, then you might want to reconsider this Christmas. But when you do, know this. When you quit keeping Christmas, your mother and father and sisters and brothers and your friends and neighbors will turn against you with a vengeance. They'll persecute you. They'll hate you. They will revile you. I've been watching this for a number of years. So if you want to be liked by everybody, you stick with Christmas. Because the minute you give it up, you're going to be hated. Why? I don't know. Now, the Chinese don't keep Christmas, and nobody hates them, but by God, if you do, you'll find out how fast that'll come down on you. Now, there's another lying deception that's carried out by lying deceivers, which is pig. P-I-G, pig. I'm going to flip over here to Leviticus chapter 11, and I just want to read you the pig statute in here. Now, God, you know, he didn't mince any words. I liked old George Bush. He said, watch my lips. You remember that? No new taxes. Watch my lips. Then we voted him into office, and then he raised our taxes. Remember that? I think that's part of what got him defeated in 1992, and he needed to be defeated. He was a lying deceiver. And unfortunately, we can't defeat all of the politicians. You see, both of them are lying deceivers, and we got to vote one of them in, don't we? So you're going to get a lying deceiver. It doesn't make any difference who you vote for, but with this pig over here, now, you can't tell me that these preachers that go to college and get degrees after their names never read this. Here it is. It's verse 7. It says, "And the swine, though he divide the hoof and be cloven footed, yet he chews not the cud. He is unclean to you. Of their flesh shall you not eat, and their carcass you shall not touch." They're unclean to you. You not only are not supposed to eat pig, you're not even supposed to touch a dead one. You can touch a live one, and you can have a pet pig if you want. You can have a pet dog, you can have a pet cat, but you can't eat the dog, and you can't eat the cat, and you can't eat the pig. Now, these preachers over here are telling you, yes, you can. You go ahead and do that. That's okay. You can do that. And then they've got a couple of citations in the New Testament where they say, well, that law has been changed now, see. That law has been changed. And I'm going to flip over here and show you where these lying deceivers come over here. And I'm going to show you why they're lying deceivers. See, if it was done out of ignorance, then they would be mistaken. And these guys are not mistaken. They're not mistaken at all. They know exactly what they're doing. And they're doing it because they got an agenda. It's in Acts chapter 10. And then they read this chapter 10. And there's a section here. But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that's common or unclean." And in this chapter, Peter sees a vision. He's asleep. He's having a vision. This angel comes along, gives him this piece of information. And then he says, now, and this veil comes down. This sheet comes down, and it's got all kinds of unclean animals on it. And it says, "Take, eat, Peter." And Peter said, no, I don't eat anything that's unclean. I've never eaten unclean." And so these lying deceivers come over and say, see, now these unclean animals on here, God told Peter to take and eat. That's what cleansed them. Now what I would like to do is to just ask you people out there, would you just read this chapter up to about verse 28, 29, or 30? I mean, I think you can read this chapter for yourself. If you've been to the third grade, and you can read at that level, you can read this chapter and understand it. The subject matter of the chapter here has to do with racial discrimination. And in verse 28, it tells you the answer. "And he said unto them, you know how that it is unlawful for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come into or unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean." This was an object lesson to teach Peter not to call these Romans, in this case, these Gentiles, these uncircumcised Romans, common or unclean. It had to do with what we would call today racial discrimination. That's the subject matter of the chapter. Now the Baptists, they're pretty ingenious about this lying deception, and it's over here in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And when you're in a restaurant and you see some guy in there praying, you know, over lunch, and you'll know that the guy's a Baptist because this is their big thing here. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 4, and then I'll read it to you. It says, "Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, and having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, because it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." So they take that verse 4 and 5. "For every creature of God is good." See, we can eat pig. It says so right there. Go ahead and read it. Now, you talk about lying deceivers now. Jesus said, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, these lying deceivers, they don't tell you about Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14, see? They go to Acts 10 and cite a racial discrimination chapter off point and out of context. And then they come over here and they say, now listen, every creature of God is good. Hell, I never said that pig was bad. I never said that dogs and cats were wicked and evil. The law says, don't eat them. That's all. They're not good for you to eat. Now, the word sanctified is the key word in verse 5, because it's sanctified. Listen, Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14 sanctifies. It sets apart. Go look up the word sanctify. It sets apart clean and unclean. Now, every animal that's clean, you can eat. Every animal that's unclean has been sanctified or set apart as being unclean. And we were told, don't eat them. These guys cite these scriptures deliberately, off point, with the intention of deceiving you into eating, into violating, to breaking the law. And it works. I don't deny it. Jimmy Dean pure pork sausage, they sell a bunch of it. And it has worked in the past, and it works right now today. But there's an outcome that comes from it. And if you're deceived thereby, and you eat pig, you know, ultimately it'll give you bad health, it'll kill you. Now, Isaiah, I think it's in Isaiah 65. Let me flip over here, and I'll tell you what God thinks about this pork and unclean. And he's got something to say about it here. I'm sure it's in Isaiah 65. Let me see if I got that marked over here. And it deals with yeah, he talks about blowing smoke up my nose. He says, you're a smoke in my nose here in chapter 65. And to sanctify themselves. No, it's in chapter 66, verse 17. He says, in verse 16, he says, for by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouse, shall be consumed together, says the Eternal. For I know their works and their thoughts, and it shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. And I'll set a sign among them, and I'll send those that escape of them in unto the nations, to Tarshish, pull lead, and to draw the bow to Tubal and Javan, to the isles afar off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. Do you notice what he thought about eating pig? He calls it an abomination, and the mouse, and they shall be consumed together. Not that the mouse and the swine will be consumed, but the eaters of it will be consumed. There's a lot of other places in the scripture that talk about that, but the guys that are telling you this, now you may believe it, and you may be eating pig like old Roy that said, nobody's going to tell me what to eat. 2 years later, he was dead. And his wife calls me and says, well, old Roy died, had a heart attack. Well, that's what happens when you eat unclean meat. Yeah, you'll get bad health, and yeah, you'll probably have a heart attack. Hey, there's one more over here I've got to bring your attention to. It's called usury. Hey, these usurers, these bankers over here now, they've taught us to practice usury. We didn't do that very often in this country. You know, up to 1900, most people just bought things, paid for them, paid cash, and went about their business. And then the bankers got into the act over here, you know. They've always been around. I mean, it isn't something that's new. But it's new that it's carried on to these dimensions. Now, today in the United States, if you don't have a loan someplace that you're paying interest on, you're a very unusual person. most people in this country, the majority, over half, 50%, are making house payments. They're making car payments. They're making payments on their television sets and et cetera, and they pay a little usury, you know, 10, 15%. Most people have credit cards, and these credit cards charge 15 to 30% interest. Now, when I was a kid, they used to say 6% is the legal limit. And if you're charging over 6% interest, you're a usurer, and they used to have laws in these states, you know, that prohibited that. Not anymore. Not anymore. It is common, absolutely common, for people to charge 15, 18, 25, 30% interest. I can remember when I was in the waterbed factory, you know, in Boise, and we used to do business with the Associates. That's a finance company. And this is when interest rates were pretty high. Remember in the 70s when they hit 20, 21%? So the Associates, you know, they came to me one day and they said, well, we want to lend money, but our rates are 34%. The legal limit in Idaho was 36, but 34 is what they were charging. And they said, now we need to deceive the buying public into believing. They didn't use the word deceive. I'm just telling you that's in plain language. But we have to fool them into believing that we're charging them less than the going rate, which at that time, Paul Volcker, you know, was the Fed chief in those days. And interest rates were up to 20 and 21%. And so he said, we got to deceive these people. So we want to tell them that it's 12% interest. But the Attorney General requires that we use the word add-on. And I said, well, what is add-on? And he said, well, it's the method by which we compute the interest. So if you have add-on interest, 12% add-on interest, what that means is that we are calculating this interest by adding it on. Adding it on to what? See? Adding it on to what? So we come to you and we say, well, we're going to charge you 12%. Now, I loaned you $100, and I charged you 12% at the end of the year. Then I would charge you $112. You borrow $100 at 12% interest, and at the end of the year, you pay me back $112. That's called simple interest. But add-on interest is the way we calculate the interest on the loan by adding it on as we progress through the year. So you can have semi-annual. That means that we calculate your interest twice a year. We loan you the money at 12%, and it's 12% of the $100. That's $12. And then at the end of 6 months, we charge you the interest, and we add that to the principal. Now you owe us $106. Now it's still the same rate, 12%, but at the end of the year, we charge you 12% of $106 for half a year. So that's going to be 12% of 100, which is $12, divided in half, which is $6. So that's $12. And you say, well, it's all the same. No, it isn't, because I'm charging you 12% of the $6 that you owed me. So the total amount is 12 times 0.06, which is 72 cents. So at the end of the year, you owe me $112.72, because that's compound interest charged semi-annually. Now, are you getting the drift? Now, what would happen if we charged you interest monthly? Then we would have 12 of those charges. What if we charged you daily interest? This is where you students take it in the shorts when you borrow money to go to college, because they're charging you 12% interest. And you say, well, that's reasonable. I borrow $100 and they charge me 12 bucks. No, it isn't. It's 12% add-on. And so the 12% add-on is compounded daily. So they charge you 12% of the $100, divide it by 360, and add that to the unpaid balance. At the end of the year, they have 360 of these little charges. You need a calculator. You got to do better than that. You need a computer to calculate what that's going to be at the end of the year. But it nets out to 34% interest. Now, that's lying. That's a deception. And these lying deceivers, these bankers, hell, they know that. There's even one that's worse than that. Have you seen these signs as you're driving down the street, and it'll say, car title loan? They're on the air here in Missouri every once in a while. They'll come on TV. They make me want to puke. I can't imagine how these people can sleep at night, but they do. I mean, they sleep. Now, those of us that can think would not consider going in and getting one of these car title loans. The interest rate is 9.9% per month. Now, the average guy goes to public school, and when he gets out, he can't count. And so 9.9% per month equates to him 9.9%. That's what he sees. And his mind does not register, well, how much is 9.9% a month? Well, it's 118% per year. So let's go in and borrow $100 from the bank at 9.9% per month, or in this case, 9.9% from the car title loan company. So they want security. So we're going to borrow $100, and the guy says, I want your car title. So you give him the car title. Now, he's got title to your car. You drive away, smiling, counting your $100, and you're just all happy. All right. Well, the very first month that goes by, at the end of 30 days, you owe this guy 9.9% of the $100. That's $9.90 at the end of the month. Well, you didn't pay him at the end of the month, did you? So he adds the $9.90 to the principal. Now it's $109.90. So at the end of the second month, you don't pay him. That's fine. So he adds 9.9% of $109.90 to the second month. You don't pay him at the end of the third month. So he adds 9.9% to the $120 roughly that you've got on the books already. And this goes on month after month for 12 months. At the end of the year, you owe this guy 118%. You owe him $220. Well, $218. Isn't that special? Oh, my God. And it amounts, in some cases, you know, there are loan deals that they have where you pay this off at the end of the month. But the annual rate at the end of the month when you pay it off amounts to 800% per year, per annum. All right, well, now, there's got to be reason, logic, and common sense. Now, God comes along and he says, don't charge usury in interest. Let me come over here to one statute. It's in Exodus 22, verses 25 through 27. So, let me just flip over here to Exodus 22, verse 25, where he says, if you lend money to any of my people that is poor by you, you shall not be unto him as a usurer, neither shall you lay upon him usury. If you at all take any of your neighbor's raiment to pledge, if you take any collateral, like the title to his car, the pledge, the collateral, you shall deliver it to him by that the sun goes down. It's against the law to collateralize a loan. They demand it. When you go to the bank and you say, I want to borrow $1,000, the guy says, what do you want to buy with it? I want to buy a big screen TV. Good. Well, okay, the big screen TV isn't going to be enough collateral, so you got to pledge to me your radio or something else worth what they think is $1,000. So what they've really got here is $2,000 worth of collateral. See what they're doing? You buy a house, they want you to do the same thing. Now, in some cases, you know, it's fair, it's reasonable. They collateralize the loan with the product that you're buying, that is the house. That's reasonable. And if you don't pay me, well, then I'm going to take the house away from you. See? What's the collateral on this loan? Well, that's the product that you're buying. And I'm going to sell this to you on time. Now, we can sell on time. That isn't against the law. Credit's not against the law. It's charging usury. So when you go to buy real estate, you know every time they want collateral. And then they want usury on top of it. They want you to pay them interest. Well, there's nothing wrong with charging a monthly payment, but there's something wrong with charging interest on that monthly payment. And so there's the statute. That's just one of many. And they know that. And furthermore, the preachers know that. And listen to these lying deceivers, the preachers, when they want to borrow money for the church, for the building fund, and they come up and they say, would you sign a pledge for the building fund? Oh, yeah, Pastor. Oh, God, yeah. So you say, well, I'll donate $20 a month to the church building fund, you know, to pay off the mortgage on the church. And when they borrowed the money from the bank, didn't they go in there and pay interest and usury? And aren't you, at the preacher's behest, now paying the interest on this note? And haven't you gone surety for the church? And what did God tell you about going surety 6 times in the book of Proverbs? Didn't he tell you, don't do that? Don't go surety? And the preacher, who's supposed to be teaching you what? The Bible and the laws of God, now has you eating pig. He has you paying usury and interest on the church building fund. And does he ever get up in the pulpit and say to you people, let me explain the law of God to you. Let me tell you what God tells us. That we're not to eat pig and we're not to pay usury and interest. And you shouldn't be paying that on your house mortgage and you shouldn't be paying it on the church mortgage either. And therefore, we're not going to borrow any money from the church or from the bank to build the church. What we're going to do is we're going to put the payments in a pile, and when we get enough money, you pledge $20 a month and everybody else, and when we got the cash, we'll go build the church and pay cash. You ever heard a preacher tell you that? Well, I'll tell you this, it'll be a cold day in hell before you ever hear one tell you that. It's halfway time. I got to give you a reminder here that you are listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily, worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. And the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has a radio log schedule and archives. All of it can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one by calling the law school and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, go to our website, georgegordon.org. Click onto the archives page, and you can download her right there. The sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. And the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements, these recommendations that we give, don't mean that those authors or publications that we're endorsing are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review, they may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review either. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to our website, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about the religious guys. Now, I said I'd take this last hour and we'd zero in on these guys over here and we'd find out whether or not they're telling us this great skinny. So I took you up to Christmas here. Jeremiah 10 will tell you the answer to that. Now, I know your preacher is going to give you 15 reasons why. That doesn't mean what it says. So you have to decide, well, who counts here, God or the preacher? And if you choose the preacher, well, that's fine. But when you come up into the judgment, there's a lot of these preachers that are going to be coming in, and they're going to be saying, Lord, Lord. Let me show you that. Over here in Matthew chapter 7, in verse 21, it says, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Now we got certain laws in the scripture, and there's certain doctrines. There's certain things God told us to do, and certain things he told us not to do. Well, not everyone that saith unto Jesus, Lord, Lord, didn't we go to your birthday party every year? Because he's going to say to you, Depart from me, you that work iniquity, I never knew you. And didn't he tell you to do the Passover? And you said, No, I'm not going to do Passover. What I'm going to do is Easter. And will he say to you, Depart from me, you that work iniquity? You know, which is which? So, you don't need to believe me because I'm telling you, I don't care whether you do or not. It's no skin off my back one way or the other. I just wanted to bring it to your attention. Then you can make the decision. What do you want to do? Now, Joshua had that choice to make, and he said, it's in Joshua someplace, he said, But as for me and my house, we will follow the eternal. We're going to follow God. You guys can do what you're going to do, but we're going to follow God. Moses, he had a couple of problems with God a couple of times, and he got crosswise with him a couple of times. Not often, but, you know. David, he got crosswise with God a couple of times over that census and over that woman. You know, he found this neat woman, and he just couldn't keep his, you know what, in his pants, and so he was out practicing a little adultery there on the side. So, he got through it all right, and you might do the same thing. I mean, you know, you might break the law, and maybe you can get by with it. Maybe you can practice Christmas and get by with it. But over here in Revelation 2 and 3, there's a doctrine here called the Doctrine of the Nicolaitans. You ever heard of St. Nicholas? Nicolaitans? Nicholas? Well, God had a word about these Nicolaitans over here, and so I thought I'd share it with you. It says in verse 15, well, let me read verse 14. He says, But I have a few things against you, because you have there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit fornication. Fornication. You know, I told you that story yesterday. That's where you send your kid to public school, and they're teaching the boys and girls, you know, in the ninth grade or so, to use condoms, you know, practice safe sex, and sex can be real pleasurable, and you should go ahead and practice sex, you know, unmarried sex. I mean, you got them there that commit fornication. That's what that is fornication. Adultery is when you're having a little sexual frivolity between married people. And fornication is where you're unmarried and having a little fun and frivolity. And he says in verse 15, so have you also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I'll come unto you quickly, and I'll fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white throne, and in that stone a new name written, which no man knows, saving he that receives it. And he goes on, he talks about the church of Thyatira. And then he says, hey, you guys have all this good works over here, and I like you. But he says, I've got something against you too. So each one of these churches, seven of them here, he says, hey, I got something against you. And then there's one group over here, the Philadelphians. He says, hey, you guys have got it all together. I'm going to protect you from the tribulation. No rapture, but I'm going to protect you from it. And I'm going to give you your throne. I'm going to give you your reward, and you're not going to suffer from the great tribulation. And I thought that was a pretty neat deal. And then what is it that these people do? What is it that these people have that nobody has? He says, because you have kept the word of my patience, I will also keep you from the hour of temptation. This word patience is a code word for commandments. Because you have kept my commandments, I will also keep you from the hour of temptation. Let me suggest that you consider, at least consider the Ten Commandments. Maybe they're not as bad as you thought they were. How about fat? God, this fat thing over here is big business in this country. It's big business in two ways. Number one, we sell a lot of it and we make money there, but it causes a lot of heart attack and stroke, and so we make even more with bypass surgery. Now, if you go to your local McDonald's or Burger King, your local burger bar, you're going to buy a hamburger. God love them. They taste great. I like one once in a while. But they buy the cheapest grade of hamburger you can get. And our legislature here in Missouri has three grades of hamburger. It's 30% fat, 20% fat, or 9% fat. So you can have 9% death, 20% death, or 30% death. Take your pick. So they buy that cheap hamburger, and it's 30% fat, and we eat 257 pounds of meat a year, of which most of it is hamburger, so we're eating a lot of fat. And then it plugs up our arteries, it gives us atherosclerosis. Then we can go to the drugstore, we can buy drugs to thin out our restricted arteries, or we can go through bypass surgery. Well, there's chelation also. Now, these people all know that. Now, the guy that's flipping the burgers on the grill, he probably doesn't have a clue as to what that fat content is in the hamburger. But you can rest assured that Swift and Company does. And you can rest assured that your doctor does. And the pharmaceutical industry does. And the preachers out there. Let me read you the statute. It's in Leviticus chapter 3, verse 17. Can you remember that? Leviticus 3:17. Let me read you the fat statute. Here's God. He says, it shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings that you eat neither fat nor blood. That's repeated in Leviticus 7, verses 22 through 27. Twice. Two fat statutes. It will be a perpetual statute throughout your generations. Boys and girls, our generations have not ended yet. Perpetual, forever, statute, that you eat neither blood nor fat. It's against the law for us to eat blood or fat, especially Israelites. All right, now we've decided we're not going to do that, but who taught us to eat this fat and blood? Preachers, pulpit parrots. You know, they come to you and say, oh, Jesus took the law out of the way. You don't have to practice this law anymore. That's Old Testament stuff. Wait a minute. Jesus had something to say about that, too. Let's go over to the New Testament and take a look at what Jesus said about it. In Matthew 4:4, he says, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He cited that from the Old Testament. That's a direct citation from Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. There's 435 of those in the New Testament. And them lying pulpit parrots know that. They learned that in cemetery when they went to college, remember? They've got degrees up on the wall, DD, Doctor of Divinity. Hell, that guy's smart. Now, either one of two things is going on. If he's stupid and he doesn't know that, then he shouldn't be a preacher because he's stupid. And if he does know that, then he's a lying deceiver. And he should have told you that. 435 of these direct citations in the New Testament from the Old. And Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus said that. Remember? When did he say it? When he was alive. Didn't he? He didn't say it when he was dead, did he? So when he was alive, he said, quote, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. When he made that statement, how much of the New Testament had been written? Not one word. So every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God up to that moment in time when he made the statement was from the Old Testament. So if you wanted to make the argument, the only scripture that he ever referred to was the Old Testament. Not a word of the New had been written yet. Come on, guys, let's wake up and smell the coffee here. Your preacher is a lying deceiver, and he knows it. That's the worst part of it. So as old Samuel Clemens once said, remember, Mark Twain, Sam Clemens, he said there's liars, and then there's damn liars, and then there's statistics. And he had a good point there, too. The damn liars he's referring to here are the preachers. God, if they don't fit the bill, nothing does. Now, I told you about unclean meats. That's in Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14. Now, I'll stay off the stories here with these doctrinal issues over here, but there's a law here in the Bible. It's called the Sabbath and Sabbath breaking. You'll find it in Deuteronomy 5, verses 12 through 15. And there's a church denomination that makes a big deal out of Sabbath keeping. And they should. And I don't deny it. Seventh-day Adventist. Let's brand them for what they are. Now, if you're an Advent, don't get mad at me because I'm not... I didn't write this. But every once in a while, I'll have an Advent come in here. And we get to talking a little bit. And I ask them, how come you don't practice the annual holy days? And almost every one of them will say, you know, I don't know why. It's not church doctrine. But I've asked about that. And I don't get a satisfactory answer. Well, the reason you don't get a satisfactory answer is because the clergy and the Seventh-day Adventist church are a pack of lying deceivers. Now, a lying deceiver isn't somebody that lies all the time. You see, much of their doctrine is the truth. I told you about this the other day. I was watching a set of tapes, and this guy's name is Walter Vey. Nice guy. I like him. He's a great preacher. And he's smarter than I am, and I'm learning every time I put one of his tapes on, one of his CDs, I learn something new, as old as I am. I learn something new. But the guy's a lying deceiver. Well, at least in four areas. Well, that's all that it takes. We just covered that, you know. Maybe he's got the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, you know, which thing I hate. And so I pointed this out. And he had a little story on there about the Sabbath and the Council of Trent. Well, that's a legal principle there. You can't come to equity with dirty hands. And the Protestants came to equity with dirty hands, claiming that they were following the Bible, when in reality they weren't. They were following Roman Catholicism on the Sabbath. See, the Protestants all keep the Sabbath on Sunday, just like the Catholics. And the Catholics are the smart guys in this game. They said, well, hell, there isn't any place in the Bible that justifies Sunday as the Sabbath. That's our game. That's what we did. We had the authority to change it, and so we did. And everybody that follows the Sunday Sabbath is following Roman Catholicism, which is exactly correct. Just go to any Catholic encyclopedia and they'll tell you that. They're not lying to you. So a liar does not lie all the time. He just lies some of the time. Now, in Leviticus 23, let me read a few of these verses. Verse 1, it says, "And the Eternal spake unto Moses, saying, You speak unto the children of Israel, and you say unto them, concerning the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest. It's a holy convocation, and you shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all of your dwellings." Okay? Well, so far, so good. And the Advent preacher and the Adventist and this Mr. Vey comes in and he says, see, right there. This Sabbath, by the way, is mentioned about 135 times in the Bible. That's just one out of 135. Now, the chapter goes on in verse 4, where it says, "These are the feasts of the Eternal, even holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month is the Lord's Passover." All right, Advent, are you practicing the Passover? No. "And in the 15th day of the first month, at even, is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto the Eternal. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread." Well, are you eating unleavened bread for 7 days during the Feast of Unleavened Bread? No. And then in the first day you shall have a holy convocation, and you shall do no servile work therein. If you've got a day that you don't work in, what do you call it? Isn't that a Sabbath? Now, I'm not gonna rub it into you guys. I just want to bring it to your attention. Now, all of you Advents know about Leviticus 23. Wake up. You got 7 annual Sabbaths, 7 annual holy days in addition to the weekly Sabbath, the weekly holy day. And they do one, but they don't do the others. Now, I'm not bringing this to your attention because I'm a righteous Rosie. I just want to bring it to your attention because that's what the law requires, and you people all know that. Now, in Exodus chapter 12, I'm going to rub it in just a little bit more. Exodus 12. The word, get this, this word memorial, this Passover, this is the Passover chapter. This is the very first Passover that was ever done. And it says, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Eternal throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." Now, I want to ask you, how long is forever? Forever. How long is forever? I don't know. I don't know. I just know it ain't up yet. And then it's repeated twice more in that chapter. 3 times in that chapter, God tells us, you shall keep this Passover forever throughout your generations. I guess he thought that was pretty important, so he told us 3 times. My old daddy, when he told me something once, he told me, he said plainly, he said, "I only need to tell you once." He said, "If I tell you twice, you know, then I'm just being, and a real nice guy about it. But he said, by God, by the time I tell you the third time, there's going to be pain and suffering. My dad never went three. I did get away with a couple three times, you know, twice. I never got away with it three times. Now, in the Bible, you can get away with it three times. You got the first time, you got the second time, then the third time. You know, you're a three-time loser. Three-time loser. There's no fourth time here. Three-time loser. My old man said once plenty. Now, God's a pretty nice guy, and he tells you two or three times over here. Then I mentioned to you about this, about the Advents now, about this thing of the booze, you know. And at the Feast of Tabernacles, God told us to go out and drink wine and strong drink. These guys not only don't drink, they're telling you that if you do, you're going to hell. That's not just a pack of lies. Take a look at it yourself. It's Deuteronomy 14, verse 26. I flip over here to it. I think I can find it. Deuteronomy 14. Remember, that's the chapter on clean and unclean meats. But it also has to do here with Feast of Tabernacles, starting in verse 21. Well, in verse 26, you shall bestow that money for whatsoever your soul lusts after, for oxen or for sheep or for wine or strong drink or for whatever else your soul desires. Jesus made 130 gallons of wine one time at a wedding feast. Jesus was called a wine bibber. They called him a wino. He wasn't, but they lied about it and said he was. Religious people, you know, they're nice guys, and I'm not knocking them. And these Advents over here aren't dummies, you know. They actually practice most of God's law. They're good at that. I just wanted to stick it to you because, you know, you're out here telling us to practice the law, but then when it comes right down to it, you guys, you're not quite practicing all of it yourself. And you need to do that because you got these seven churches and this Laodicean gang, you know, this last bunch. Hey, listen, you know, God himself's liable to eat your lunch here. Tuck it away in your heart. Many will say to me in that day, hey, haven't we kept the Sabbath? Didn't we go out and preach the word and tell everybody to obey God and keep his commandments? Yeah, you did. But then you didn't do the Passover yourself. And then during the feast, you didn't rejoice with strong drink and wine. You know, didn't keep the holy days. So tuck it away in your heart and see where that leads you. All right, now I've come down on the Advents over here, but the Advents are probably about the best of all the churches. I mean, if you were going to pick a church someplace, they'd be as good as any and better than most. And everybody else practices less of the law than the Adventists do. I just wanted to point out, they're not quite up to snub either. And I'm not claiming that I am. But then I ain't claiming that I'm going to heaven either. You know, when it comes time for the judgment to come and the old man says to me, I'm going to kick your hind end right up between your eyebrows. I'm going to say, well, I'm sorry to hear that, boss, but I got it coming. And I got nothing to bitch about. I did it. You caught me. I'm guilty as hell. But these religious guys, you know, they're not telling you the whole story. And that's because they are lying deceivers. Now, I'm out of time again, so let me give you a final reminder here that you have been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, and that we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. And it has our radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.